This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Cannot get the smile off my face. We'll talk about some ugly FBI things. The Supreme Court had to slap Democrats around a little bit. Nonprofits, emails, and other stuff. I wanted to start out this hour with a couple different items, though. Kind of off the wall items, but I'll explain in a moment, if you will. First, there's something I love, and I think I kind of know why I love it, but I'm not 100% sure why I love it, and here's what it is. The person who owns a house or a house and some land, and their area gets really popular, and everything starts getting built up around them, and they keep it just the way it is and don't sell it. This is actually happening in my specific area right now. I live in Red America, therefore it's safe and it's clean. The animals aren't allowed to run free. The schools are better. Your child's not going to get stabbed. You understand it. That's what happens when you leave Blue America and come to Red America. So, of course, people want to move to the rural Texas. Of course they do. Well, my area is getting built up. There are businesses who are opening. There are new subdivisions. Every new land developer wants to buy a big chunk of land and put subdivisions out there, homes, apartments. Everyone wants to go there. That's a blessing. People want to come to your area. It's a blessing. I'm not complaining about that, by the way. I like that people have apartments. I like that people have homes. I like that businesses start. I want people to have jobs. I'm a fan of capitalism and prosperity. But also in my area, because it's rural Texas, there are these little mini ranches, I should say, where he'll have 200 head of cattle. He'll have 4 or 5 horses. You're looking and you're thinking, nah, that guy probably has 20 acres there. And all around him, they're building apartments and houses, and there's a new McDonald's, and there's a new parking garage, and all around him. And nothing's changed on his place. And you know for a fact, when you're driving by, for a fact that somebody, probably multiple somebodies, have knocked on that guy's door and opened up their checkbook and basically told him, name your price. We want to buy your place. And they offered him what you or I would probably consider life-changing money. How much money would it take for you to say, I mean, whatever you want to do in retirement, people have their own thing, but maybe you have a very standard thing and there's nothing wrong with this. Maybe you want to move to Florida and you want a condo close to the walking distance to the beach in Florida. Maybe you want $5 million. You want a condo close to the beach in Florida. Invest your money. You, your hubby, your wife. You want to walk down and get oysters every Friday night. Enjoy the sunshine and the beach. And that's what you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. And somebody comes to your house and they open up a checkbook and they say, hey, here it is right here. I have the check for it. And you say, nah, I'm good. I built this place. I like this place. I think this place is a good place just the way it is. I'm not leaving. I've always loved that. And I don't understand what specifically about it appeals to me. Maybe because I like people who value tradition over money. I guess possibly that could be it. I like to see the old way people lived. I don't know, but I like it. And this story, this is like a 2-minute news clip. It's a story out of Kentucky. I'm going to play it for you. And when I first saw it, I just sat back and I just smiled the entire time. Listen to this woman in Kentucky.
If it's my way, I'll stay and hold and feed a nation. 26 million doesn't mean anything.
Some people might find it hard.
Obviously, I'll start again. The woman was offered $26 million for her place. More money than you or I will ever see in a lifetime. $26 million. Listen.
If it's my way, I'll stay and hold and feed a nation. 26 million doesn't mean anything.
Some people might find it hard to understand how Delcia Bear can turn away a $26 million offer to buy some of her land until you spend a little time with her walking the dirt road she grew up on and in the house her daddy built.
My grandfather and great-grandfather and a whole bunch of family has all lived here for years, paid taxes on it, fed a nation off of it. Even raised wheat through the Depression and kept the bread lines up in the United States of America when people didn't have anything else.
Delcia is one of dozens of landowners approached by an anonymous buyer, one of the major players in artificial intelligence, likely Google or Meta or Amazon, to purchase their land. The market value for land in Mason County is about $6,000 an acre. The realtor that came to her door last April offered her and her mother about 10 times that.
They call us old stupid farmers, you know, but we're not. We know whenever our food is disappearing, our lands are disappearing, and we don't have any water and poison. We know we've had it.
Delcia's mom, Ida Huddleston, is now 82 years old. She says she does not need the money or the hassle. She was born on this land, and she plans to die here, and she certainly does not trust the promises made by the AI companies or the people who want them to build here.
Did that make you smile? You know, Mount St. Helens, big old mountain, volcano, in Washington, Mount St. Helens erupted some years ago. It was a big story when I was a kid. We learned about it in school. And I remember reading in that story that there was an old man. Sorry, I didn't look this up beforehand. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Otherwise, I'd name him. There was an old man who lived on the side of that mountain. And they knew the mountain was going to go at some point in time. And they told him, hey, you need to leave. And he said, no, this is my place. I was born here, and I'm going to die here. And he did. And I remember as a kid hearing that story and thinking to myself, what an idiot. What? Go get an apartment somewhere. Go get a nice place somewhere else. Go buy a house. Go whatever. Live on a houseboat in Tennessee. What an idiot. And maybe it's age. I don't know. I can't psychologize myself. I really look up to that guy. I think there's something really appealing and really cool about being offered life-changing generational money, not just for you, your kids' kids, for $26 million. Generational money. And you say, no. My dad built this house. Chris can't believe it. Look, I don't know that I could do it. Maybe that's why I like it so much. I don't know that I could do it, but I hope I could. What, Chris? What? Chris said, but that's the kind of thing you'd want your kids to say. I think I would want them to say that. I don't want them to value money over anything else. And I've told them that. I've told my boys, I expect you to work hard. Working hard is a requirement, and I expect you to provide for a wife and children. You're going to provide. You're not going to be some dirtball, some freeloading loser. But I've also told them there's more to life than money, a lot more to life than money. I don't know why, but I think that story is really freaking cool. I think it's really $26 million. Man alive, $26 million. No, I'm good. My dad built this house. I'm going to stay right here. That's freaking awesome. Jesse, perhaps you can share with your listeners how Senator Joe McCarthy was spot on about the communist infestation in the country. Well, he saw it coming. He screamed about it. And it's not an accident that to this day your child learns in history class that Joe McCarthy was some crazy kook who was just out there selling conspiracy theories. That's because Joe McCarthy was dead right. He knew that the communists were infecting the education system, the United States government. He knew they were infecting Hollywood. All these things we now know are documented facts. It's all documented now. Now we know it. McCarthy screamed about it. And now the average American thinks Joe McCarthy was just some nutter. Some guy. What a conspiracy theorist. No, communists are infiltrators. It's what they do. They infiltrate the FBI. And it's really, really bad. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers and what they do, because what they do is wonderful. Tunnel to Towers, they take these Gold Star families, and we have new ones now, because of this war in Iran. But they take Gold Star families and they pay off their mortgages. They take catastrophically injured veterans, and we have some new ones of those now too. And they build them smart homes designed specifically for the veteran and his injuries. Tunnel to Towers pours out blessings. And I think that is the coolest freaking thing in the world. And they've been doing this since 9/11, since that fateful day. First responder families, Gold Star families, homeless veterans. And they've been doing it with your $11. 11 bucks a month. Give it automatically. Sign up to give it automatically. You never know it's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember, the communists are dead serious when they tell you they're going to arrest you the first chance they get. This is the DA of Philadelphia.
This is how it works. You commit crimes within the jurisdiction that is the city and county of Philadelphia. I prosecute you. That is how it works. No, I don't take a phone call from the president saying let him go. No, the president cannot pardon you. I'll say it again. The president cannot pardon you. And yes, I will put you in handcuffs and I will put you in a courtroom. And if necessary, I will put you in a jail cell. If you decide to make the terrazzo floor of this airport anything like what you did in the streets of Minneapolis.
They're serious. We laugh and we have fun, but let's remember that communists are dead serious. They want to hurt you. They're going to try to hurt you. Whatever power they are ever given, they will use that power to hurt you. They've never done anything else. It's what they believe should be done with power. Headline from Just the News, fishing expedition. Docs expose expansive FBI surveillance of Trump allies, possible illegality. They took the FBI and they did with it the only thing they know how to do. They used it against their political opponents. They'd never consider doing anything else. Speaking of never considering doing anything else, here's Cory Booker with Gavin Newsom.
Gavin and I are longtime friends when we were both at mayoral level. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, brother, we got a bromance, because when you stood up for gay and lesbian couples and married them against the law, and the whole Democratic Party was saying you're ruining our coming election, because that was when Bush was trying to put it on ballots everywhere.
Dianne Feinstein blamed him for John Kerry losing.
Yes, but yet he stood up for what we now know, looking back, was right. That was an act of courage. It was an act of grace. It was an act of vulnerability, because he put himself out there. He is my brother because of moments like that.
Cory and Gavin are pretty close. I wonder how close they are. I wonder how long Gavin's been behind Cory. Or what? I just wonder how close they are, Chris. I can ask. I mean, super close? I don't know. I thought that was what? Don't look at me like that, Chris. I thought that was touching. Hey, Bronco, I'm a project manager for the Oklahoma Military Department. We are building a new museum that tells the story of the Oklahoma National Guard with an emphasis on the 45th Infantry Division. There is a Medal of Honor section for all the Medal of Honor recipients from Oklahoma. It's located in Oklahoma City and will be completed this June. My coworkers and I are huge fans of your show, of your radio show, and would love to have you stop by if you are ever up this way. Chris, we got to go. What? Is this an anti-Oklahoma thing because you're from Texas, Chris? Okay, I appreciate that naked bias. I do. I like Oklahoma, Chris. I have always enjoyed Oklahoma. I've enjoyed Oklahoman people. What? Chris says it's boring. But what do you expect them to do, Chris? You want them to start doing hula hooping for you when you cross the border? What do you mean it's boring? They have the same stuff up there you have here in Texas. They have the same thing up there you have here in Texas, for Pete's sake. It's the same freaking place. Oh, my gosh. You are such a Texas homer all the time. We can go to the Medal of Honor Museum up there in Oklahoma, Chris. Please make some arrangements. Get us a discount or something. You'll feel better. Jesse, you've promoted moving out of blue states for some time. That's a great idea, particularly for the young and mobile. However, if most Republicans and conservatives leave, then theoretically it assumes the blue state will stay blue forever. In your opinion, what are the primary movers causing states to flip? Crime, taxes, government overreach, gun laws, or perhaps in these days, illegal immigrants? His name is David. Yes, well, I do not believe some blue states can be saved without serious election security, because Democrats in these states like California, have more illegal votes than you can count. Every California Republican I know says that they cheat in every single election out there, that it's not possible to win because they've locked down every level of government, so they just cheat rampantly. You want to hear something crazy? There was just a recent Supreme Court argument about when is Election Day. Are they allowed to continue to count votes that come in after Election Day? Because remember, that seems to keep happening now in the country. You want to hear something wild? There's never been one of those where they kept counting afterwards that benefited Republicans. Democrats cheat in every election. That's why I thought the arguing over 2020 was crazy. You can argue they didn't cheat enough to win it, or you can argue they did cheat enough to win it, but don't ever tell me they didn't cheat. Democrats have always cheated in every election, every chance they get. They're not worried about rules or right and wrong or honesty, but that those things never cross these people's minds. Winning is all that matters. All that matters. That's why they've been working so hard to stop the SAVE Act. These people have to have it, meaning leave the blue state to the animals. Come to a place that's safe, polite, where you can have a gun, and if an animal comes to you here, you can kill him before he kills you. It's wonderful. Anyway, we'll do more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, I'm going to play something for you. It's a story about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Delicious, but maybe the worst name of any restaurant in history. It just doesn't work with the English language. Ruth's Chris, it's hard to say. Anyway, we'll set that aside. It is delicious. I haven't eaten it one in years, but last time I ate it one, it was fantastic. But Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, shut up, Chris, has a new dress code.
The great national divide over dress codes, it's back with a debate over the dress code at steakhouse chain Ruth's Chris and what it calls proper attire, asking guests to remove all hats and not come in with gym wear, pool attire, tank tops, or exposed undergarments. Another chain, Chili's, posted about that, saying the only dress code at Chili's is you have to be dressed.
Okay. And I did hear some outrage about this. Some people support it. Some people are against it. Have you ever heard the story about Van Halen and the brown M&Ms? You ever heard this story? It's a famous story. You probably have heard it. If not, bands, actually, it's not just bands, any speaking act. Like if I did a bunch of public speaking where I went and gave speeches here and speeches there, I would probably have this too. But bands, rock and roll, all bands have what's called a rider. What is a rider? Well, I, Jesse Kelly, I'm going to come grace you with my presence and give a speech. I'm not going to do this, by the way. It's not my thing. But I'm going to come grace you with my presence and give a speech. Here is a list of things I require when I get there. I will need a Little Caesars thin crust pizza in the dressing room. I'm going to need 3 bags of Blazin' Buffalo and Ranch Doritos, a side of ranch with my Little Caesars pizza, and a comfortable robe to put on for after my speech. Here are my requirements. That's called a rider, right? All right. Bands, music acts are famous for these because they'll put the most crazy things in there you can possibly imagine. I read one time that Beyonce, that singer, one of hers was you had to have a platinum straw for her to drink out of. It had to be a drinking straw made of platinum. I know, Chris. All right, I got it. Anyway, put that aside. Music acts. Have you ever wondered, you go to these different concert venues, and there's all these lights at the exact right time, and the fog comes out at the exact right time. Well, that doesn't just magically happen. The venue ahead of time has to prepare those things for the band. They have to get those things right, prepared. They like the volume of the guitar up this high, not this high. They need the fog machine to roll it. Okay, you understand. So, Van Halen's thing, I think this was in 1982, they did a tour, Van Halen tour, was they wanted a big bowl of M&Ms, one of their many things, was they wanted a big bowl of M&Ms waiting for them in the green room before they went out. Only there was a stipulation. No brown M&Ms. No brown M&Ms. Now, that doesn't make any sense at first because everybody knows that all M&Ms taste the same. It's not like a Skittle. An M&M is an M&M. If you close your eyes and I fed you one, you'd have no idea what color it is. They all taste the exact same. The color difference doesn't mean anything. So were they just being jerks? Just being demanding because they could, because they were Van Halen? No. They had their manager, whenever they showed up at a venue, he walked in. Now, normally this manager would have to go check. Hey, I need to see the fog machine. I want to see the volume on the guitar. I want to see the light. I have to go. Is this good? Instead of having to do all that, the manager walked right to the dressing room, right to the bowl of M&Ms to see if there were any brown ones in there. Why? Because if they took the time to take the brown M&Ms out of the bowl, then they took the time to do the fog machine and the volume of the guitar, you don't have to check anything else. And the flip side of that is, if you ignore that, the fine print, tedious, admittedly, but fairly simple. If you couldn't do that, my M&M thing, I know you didn't get the timing right. I know the fog machine will be wrong. I know this light will be too bright and this one will be. I don't have to check anything else. The manager would walk in, check the bowl. The bowl was good to go. Sweet. Band's coming in. If not, we're out. Good luck with your show tonight. So, dress codes in restaurants. There's a Cajun restaurant close to where I live. I live in Southern Texas, Houston area, so there's a lot of Cajun restaurants here. We started going there right when we moved here 10 years ago or so. And delicious, great food. It's Cajun food. We stopped going for a while as it started getting rougher and rougher in there. Louder, rude people, crappy people, spilling drinks. We saw a fight one time. Then we walked by it one day. We were going to a different restaurant. They had a new sign out front. The sign out front used to advertise the special of the day. Get the red snapper, crawfish etouffee, bananas Foster tonight. Now the sign, still there, has a list of things you're not allowed to wear in the restaurant. No vape pens, no wife beaters, no sideways ball caps, no baggy pants, no this, no that. No, it's not that restaurant, Chris. I'll tell you during the break. We decided we'd pop in. Restaurant, clean, safe, nice, just like it used to be. Now, is wearing baggy pants that bad? What's the big deal? They're pants that are baggy. It's the style you like. It's not that wearing baggy pants is bad. It's not that wearing a ball cap or a skirt that shows your undergarment in and of itself into Roost Chris is bad, although you have to clean the chairs afterwards. The problem with it is indicative of the kind of customer you're going to be. It's a tell. It's a red flag, if you will. And so if you stop people who wear those things, there's your brown M&Ms. Standards matter. I have worn a ball cap many times in my life. Now that I'm bald, I have ball caps I wear. I have other kinds of hats I wear. No, it's not really for style. It's because my head gets sunburnt now because I don't have enough hair. So I do have hats. I have nothing against hats. I wear a hat all day long. I support these kinds of decisions from restaurants, not because I'm a snob, not because I'm anti-hat, but because I understand what comes with the hat so often. Never be afraid of standards. Standards make everything better, and without them, we are but animals. All right? Pure Talk has standards. I talked to you earlier in the show, last hour, about Mac V. Sog, those super studs who went behind enemy lines in Vietnam and died in droves. I've told you before, the man who runs Pure Talk did two tours with Mac V. Sog. He finished a tour that's certain death, and turned around and said, I'm going to do another one with my friends. How could there be a mobile company that is so patriotic they insist on hiring only Americans? Nope, just Americans. No H-1Bs, we're not interested. No call centers in India, not for us. Why? The mobile company that sends out American flags to veterans on Independence Day, they didn't even charge for it. American flags to veterans. Well, when you're led by a man who did two tours with Mac V. Sog, that's the kind of company you get. And that's why they're my cell phone company. Switch to Pure Talk. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. You have 10 minutes. You can switch during the break. Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly and switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Don't forget to get your questions emailed in for Friday. Get your love, get your hate, get your death threats. Get all those emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, is it even legal for states to release illegals with deportation orders? And if it is, why? We have different jurisdictions in the country. Always remember, we have different jurisdictions in the country, all right? A state has authority to do things that the feds may not. It's convoluted, and it gets convoluted quickly when you dig into it. But a deportation order, immigration is handled by the federal government. Ideally, you would have a state or local jurisdiction hold an illegal who has a detainer saying, hey, this guy's here illegally, and then ICE would come pick him up. But again, as I've expressed over and over again, Democrats are evil. They are communists. They have brought as many foreign barbarians here as they possibly can because they know it wins them elections. Once they get here, they work very, very, very hard to keep these people here because it wins them elections.
If you've been here since President Trump became the president on January 20th of 2017, you've been here since that time, and you haven't committed a crime but for not having proper documentation, let's figure out a way to legalize you so you can go to work every day, you can pay your taxes, you can raise your family, you can travel freely and not be afraid of being deported.
It wins them elections.
We have a whole bunch of folks that have been here, perhaps they did come here in an undocumented capacity, but they're contributing to society, they're your neighbors and others. If they're not at risk, if they're not criminals, I think we should figure out a way to let them come out of the shadows.
Why would Democrats work so hard to prevent people from having to show ID? Don't they know illegals are voting? Don't they know 80% of Americans want this law?
Underneath the surface, the SAVE Act is a voter purge bill. Most of its core elements don't even talk about voter ID.
The SAVE Act is a massive voter suppression bill that would make it very difficult for millions of Americans, especially women who have changed their name on their birth certificate no longer matches the name on their real ID or driver's license. It would cause chaos to voting and really shrink the voting rolls 5 or 10%.
His bill would make it more difficult for people who generally are not inclined to vote for him to vote. It would make it hard.
They oppose it because they need those people to win elections. Now, the result of it, of course, is Americans are dying. They're being robbed. They're being raped. They're being butchered. Here's Joe Abraham, lost his daughter to another foreigner.
You still have not heard from Governor Pritzker or from the mayor.
No, I haven't heard anything from any leader in Illinois. Nothing, not a word. 14 months.
14 months. Baby girl gone. Why hasn't he heard? Because Democrats prefer that illegal over him. The media is in on this. The university system is in on this. They have all, as evil communists, joined together in the understanding that the hostile foreign barbarian, he may rob, he may rape, he may deal drugs, he may murder, and of course he will do those things. That's all he's ever known. But you know what else he will do? He will vote Democrat his entire life. His children will be American citizens who vote Democrats. So if your daughter and wife get raped and murdered by an illegal immigrant, that's just the price to pay to keep Democrats in office in the country. That's just the cost of the revolution. Deeply, deeply evil. And these are the men we send to Washington to oppose
them. I'm the only candidate advocating a comprehensive approach that includes a long, hard-earned pathway to citizenship. There's some people saying we need to limit legal immigration. To me, they're just looking at a different world than I am. We'll be down to 2 workers for every retiree in the next 20 years. We're going to need more legal immigration.
Do you think that whatever you're working on will have to include a path to citizenship for Dreamers?
I do. I've been pretty outspoken on that.
for even last September, Senator Tillis and I both put out a proposal to get citizenship for those individuals that are in the DACA program or were eligible for the DACA program.
DACA recipients must have a permanent legislative solution. They deserve nothing less. We need to take action and pass legislation that will unequivocally allow these young men and women to stay in the only home, in the only country they've known.
South Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas. Those are senators representing those three very, very red states. And keep in mind that Republicans know exactly what I just said is true about the foreign barbarians, about what they do, about what they're doing in the country, and they don't care at all.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
The Supreme Court just dealt a blow to the Democrats' plan to persecute ICE agents if they retake power. Sometimes I forget that the communists plan on arresting all the members of ICE who are deporting foreigners. Did I mention the Democrat Party's evil and demonic? Is China using nonprofits to support political candidates? Well, let me go ahead and clue you in. Yes, they are. Data shows the gulf between MAGA and MAHA and America First voters over Iran, but most agree Israel has, quote, too much influence. As I mentioned the other night, Israel views this as their last and best shot because of how the next generation views Israel, and they're probably not wrong about that. Iran war drags U.S. business to a yearly low. Well, I'm sure that won't matter during the midterms. House conservatives erupt over Senate GOP and White House deal amid the SAVE Act fight. Yes, White House and the Senate, they're currently trying to give the communists some concessions to get the government open again. Not satire. Maryland Democrat explains why the state needs appropriately sized tampons in the men's room. I have no idea what kind of man would need tampons, but I know Lindsey Graham probably needs big ones. Iran pushes back on U.S. ceasefire plan and floats a five-point counterproposal. Their five-point counterproposal was basically a big Iranian double middle finger in Trump's face. So I would expect things are going to get a little spicy in Iran pretty quickly here. Spicier than they've been. Anyway, we'll do it again tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.